So, good. I'm just checking about the time zones for everyone. Good morning, everyone, I think. Some more morning than others. It's good to see you again. Again, a much richer. And this morning, we'll begin with getting a little more context for those, like the magical three lines that we'll be looking at over this long weekend. Do not cheat the Buddha. Do not betray your heart. Do not deceive living beings. And one reason that Bodhilila and I chose this line is, she just said, well, what would you like to do? And I was, as I said, I was looking around the room, and I do have that little card that has the lines on it. But in thinking more about it, I realized that those three lines talk about not only staying with our heart, but we can also see them as a way of connecting to what we talked about in the dedication ceremony yesterday. The first line is, I dedicate this place or this retreat to the three jewels, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And in a way, those three lines are also little signposts to connecting to the Buddha. Do not cheat the Buddha, the Dharma. Do not betray your heart. So seeing Dharma, truth, as being the center of how we truly are. And do not deceive living beings. Sangha, all living beings can be seen as our community, as our Sangha. So as we walk through or unpack these three lines over the weekend, it'll be just a new way for us of connecting to the three jewels, if that is something that is relevant to you. And I think all of us are here probably because we have a connection with the West London Buddhist Center. So those, the notion and the aspiration that we can find within the three jewels means something to each of us in a different way. So this character, my hero, Zhiyi, included these three lines, as I said, in a meditation manual. And his meditation manual, which actually sounds a bit boring, doesn't it? A meditation manual. Particularly if we think of meditation as it's just something you sit down, you have crossed legs, which of course there's lots of different ways of being in meditation, as you knew that. You shut your eyes. Not everybody shuts the eyes. And sort of the old, some people think of meditation as emptying the mind. So, well, after you write that in the manual, there's nothing else to say, is there? If your mind's empty, there's nothing to talk about. So that meditation isn't just about emptying the mind. And his meditation manual is really about looking at another trio of a way of practicing in our body, which we talked some about yesterday, practicing with our speech and practicing with our mind. And we can bring our heart and our truthfulness and our kindness into all of those things. And we can also bring them into these ideas of cheating, betraying, deceiving. I quite like approaching positive qualities by saying, well, this is what I don't want to do, rather than saying, let's just manufacture a lot of love. Let's just be ethical. Well, sometimes it's helpful to see, well, what does that mean when I don't do that? Oh, that means I'm cheating. Do I feel comfortable cheating? Is that something that I would like to say, yeah, I cheat on that. I cheated on the Buddha. I cheated on my exams. I cheated on when I gave money to the till and I told them I'd given them a tenner and I'd actually only given a fiver. All these sorts of things. Is that something we feel comfortable with? Sometimes we need these other ways of looking at how we'd like to act ethically, how we'd like to act with grace and something that we feel proud of. So we can see what we don't want to do, and that can encourage us about what we do want to do. And in a way, that's what Zhiyi did with these three lines. He was, as I mentioned yesterday, he was speaking to monks in the monastery. And one might think, well, they don't get much of a chance to cheat. I don't know if anyone's been in a monastery, but they're human beings. We are very creative about getting what we want, even when we're supposed to be practicing perhaps the precepts of non-harming and not taking what's not given, et cetera, et cetera. So he's talking on a very practical everyday level of, these aren't helpful. If you want to be following the three jewels, if you want to transform yourself, transform your body, your heart, your mind, he goes to the nub of things of, you don't want to cheat. You don't want to betray. You don't want to deceive. And he put these particular three lines, it's around, he looks at, as I said, body, speech, and mind. And he put these three lines in an area of the text where he talks about the body. So how we are with our body, our whole physical shape. So when I say body, it isn't just sometimes when we say body, we just think of this torso thing, really. But it's our whole physical shape from the tips of our toes to the top of our heads, and let's fill up our screens here, because I feel like we're all in it's like being on a little yoga mat, isn't it? We're all in these little rectangles, but actually we can take up all this space. So this is what we're practicing with, this whole being, externally and internally. Yeah, exactly, Sue. Thank you for filling that space up. Feel free. Yeah. So yeah, he was telling people we can use our body, we can connect to these aspects of the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha with our body. And we can do that in thinking about qualities that we don't want to cultivate. Cheating, betraying, deceiving. Well, that gives you a general context for what Zhiyi was. Sometimes I almost think he was wagging a finger a bit at his monks. Maybe they were up to a bit of, maybe they were taking too much rice because you're only supposed to have a certain amount of rice. Or maybe they weren't doing their share of the work duty. Or maybe they were cheating a bit on this or cheating a bit on that. But I'd like to not wag my finger at you, because I need to wag my finger at me as well if I do that, because we're all in the same boat of trying to work with how we are and help the positive things blossom. Notice the unhelpful things and say, okay, do I need you anymore? Let me work at letting you go. And that can take 5 minutes, or it can take 5 years or 50 years. But the process itself, if we've engaged in the process itself, that is the positive thing. It's the seeing, and then we can move towards what we want to do with it. We see something, can choose what to do, then we can move from there, what to do about it or not. So this first line, do not cheat the Buddha. I've been having fun thinking about this for a while. And I think I was spurred on, particularly when Bodhi Leela said she was intrigued by this line. There's something about intrigue that I think maybe it sort of ramps up my competitive nature. Oh, I really need to dig into this one a lot. So what does cheating mean for me? And as I'm talking about things, I would really encourage each of you, I feel like us, it's not me and you, us, each of us, to think about, what does cheating mean for me? So you look up a dictionary, a thesaurus, there's lots of things about that different ways that we can think of cheating. Cheating can be, as we know, taking, in a way, it's taking the not given, to use a, which is almost like stealing. It's not like we're cheating at cards with the Buddha. We often think of cheating at cards. I don't know, maybe you do play cards with the Buddha. We'll get to what the Buddha means to you in a moment. But cheating, is that faking something? I think it might also be, we might think of it as selling ourselves short. We're cheating on our truer, stronger, kinder self. We're not offering the respect that's due to us or to other people. Cheating. So thinking about, what does cheating mean to you? And let's think of it also in terms of cheating with the body. Cheating with the mind. Cheating in speech. So many different ways we can think of these things. So what I keep coming back to again and again as I think of this is that thing of selling ourselves or selling someone else short. I don't know why that phrase keeps coming up, but that's speaking from my personal experience today. That's the term that comes up. So, and in a way that feels like cheating. If I, for example, if I see, well, I can use the example of my friend Bodhi Leela here. If we're talking and Bodhi Leela pops up, she's done something and I admire it, and I don't take the time to say, I really like that, Bodhi Leela, that was great. In a way, that's selling our friendship short. It's selling myself short, selling our connection short. So taking the time there to not cheat with my speech, but be generous with my speech. Sort of the other side of cheating is a positive way you might think, but is being generous. It can also be being generous. And what, well, I'm cheating, so that's cheating speech, cheating with the body. What might that be for people? How might you underestimate yourself or hold yourself back from what would be a positive experience, something that you might feel proud of? There's nothing wrong with feeling proud. If you're developing positive qualities, if you're looking at a person here I know is a wonderful cook. I've had the great fortune of eating some of her cooking. And if she was cooking a meal and really didn't put the effort in that she usually does and serves something up, well, in a way, she's cheating others of the great gift of her wonderful cooking that she could give. And she's also cheating herself of that joy of giving to people something, you know, that's helpful, positive for them, nourish them, and that they'll enjoy, and they dig in and they say, oh, this is so wonderful. Can I have some more, please? So many ways we can think of this cheating. And then cheat with the mind. We are so adept at rationalizing, justifying, getting out of, I see a lot of smiles here. Human beings are just amazing, aren't we? Again, we can get out of or rationalize our way out of acknowledging something. maybe something we've done that isn't so ethical or isn't so kind, whether it's to ourselves or to someone else. We turn away, almost like we mentally turn away from that thing that we thought or we might do that we don't really want to face, don't want to acknowledge. And it could be ourselves, or it could be someone around us. It could be someone we really love, somebody we really admire, and they've said something or done something or written something that we just don't feel comfortable with. So we block it out. We rationalize it. We just literally turn away from it, or we just don't even bring it up in conversation. And there, we're in a way, we're cheating with our mind. We're cheating our ability to be open to all that is around us, the beautiful as well as the not so beautiful, the unhelpful and kind, the challenging. So in a way, well, that's sort of the body, speech, and mind of cheating. But what I really would like people to think about is cheating in your own experience, whether you've done it or been the recipient or had been someone's cheated on you has quite particular connotations, and I don't think it's helpful just to go there, but sometimes somebody's done something and you've not benefited from it. So that's the cheat sign. And the other of this first line is, do not cheat the Buddha. Well, we could spend the next, 10 or so years talking about what the Buddha means to each of us. So we can think of that, the Buddha, in so many ways. We can think of the historical Buddha. And often when I think of these lines, and if I think of the historical Buddha, I remember being at a retreat center back when I was with Tri Ratna in the States. So not far from you, Christopher, there's a Tri Ratna Center in New Hampshire, Arialoka, which you might be familiar with. And this was about 20 years ago. And this retreat, we didn't have a dishwasher then. So when you were on washing up duty, you knew you were there for the long haul, particularly if there's 25 people on the retreat. So there's a lot of washing up to do. And I remember a person there, a fellow named Viduma, and he always seemed so good humored when he was doing the washing up. He was generally a good humored man anyway, but he seemed particularly good humored washing up. And he thought, this must be addressing something interesting in his psyche. And one day I said something to Viduma about, always seem to enjoy the washing up, Viduma, what is it? He said, when I'm washing up, I imagine the Buddha's there and he's watching me. And because I respect the Buddha, I make sure I do a good job. So I just thought that was such a fantastic way of bringing the Buddha into his life. And obviously he's not going to cheat the Buddha. He's not going to do a poor job on the glasses, because that might be the next glass of water that the Buddha has. So I thought that's a lovely example of bringing the notion of a historical Buddha into our life, but not in the sense of, oh, I'm scared and I have to do a good job, otherwise I'll get in trouble. But it brings in the quality that you find talked about in Buddhism. It's called respect for the wise, or apatrapia, So the Buddha can represent to you not only historical Buddha, but also beings or qualities in your life that you respect or you aspire to or inspire you as well. And so when we have these qualities in our life or these beings in our life, a friend, partner, parent, a teacher, whoever it might be, it's that important balance of respect, but also respect for them and respect for self. So we don't want to cheat the nature of that respect. We don't want to undermine it. So that can be one way of thinking about the Buddha, the historical Buddha, but also the qualities. And many of us, in terms of the qualities that we might see in the Buddha, we're also, if we respect them, they're qualities that we can develop in ourselves. So once again, if we're thinking of the Buddha that way, whether it's qualities of equanimity, of fearlessness, of wisdom, of kindness, of clarity, quality of just slowing down and being a good listener. That's a fantastic quality. By not engaging with that quality or not keeping that in mind as we move with our body or speak or think about things, we're actually once again selling that quality and that role, its role in our life short. We're cheating on it. We're not bringing ourselves wholeheartedly to those qualities to help us transform into even more wonderful kind of beings than you already are. And I think over time, and even over the course of a day, how we might think of those qualities or how we might think of the Buddha or a Buddha is going to change depending on what's going on in our heart mind, in our everyday conditions. So I think it's good to try and be open to, well, in this moment, or as I'm having a conversation with a friend, for example, well, what's important to me right now? Is it important to me to make sure that I make my point and they hear what I say and I don't care what they say and I'm going to talk over them? Is that what's important to me? Or is it important to me to nurse that quality of connection with a friend? And that might be just sitting and listening. Or it might be really engaging quite strongly with them. But not selling yourself short in terms of that quality that you value in that particular moment, in that particular exchange. Not cheating on that quality that you might see in the Buddha, or you might see in each of our own self of a sense of a Buddha nature, having that truer, kinder, more ethical heart. This morning, after we had the morning meditation, I went out for it was more like a trot rather than a run. Because I find it's very important to trying to, as it were, walk the talk when we talk about looking after the body. But these last few months, I've been visited again by asthma quite a bit. So which I hadn't had for quite a while, and it's doing better. But the running that I used to do, I'm not quite able to do at the moment. And as I was doing it and having going out for this little run and running along, and I had to decide, so what do I do? Do I try to go for a long run and then feel unhappy with myself because I haven't been able to do it? And so in a way, sell myself, you know, be hard on myself and make it more difficult to recognize or to achieve. I don't even want to achieve, to engage in my body in a way that's healthy, but do it in a way that's possible for me. And that's not going to cause me harm, and also not going to cause me emotional and mental stress. So do I go for a long run? I thought, no, that's not going to happen. And then quickly I use the excuse of, oh, well, I've got to be back to teach later. So is that a cheating? I don't know. But then I thought, well, I'll just run for a while. And then if I have to walk for a while, I'll do that. And then I'll run for a while. And then I'll walk that. And that way it felt like I wasn't selling myself short on looking after myself, but I was being realistic about what was possible for me, what was sustainable for me, and also that I could come and be with you here and not be sitting there with my tongue hanging out of my mouth, exhausted. So not cheating on my well-being. And well-being is a really important part of how I practice, how I aspire to develop the Buddha qualities, because I need to come from a steady, solid, kind, and as healthy as possible base as possible to keep encouraging and nourishing these different elements that I find I respect, that I aspire to, that I see in the Buddha or different Buddhas. So it's just being realistic about what we can do. And that way we can move away from the all or nothing view. Because when we have that all or nothing view, we can avoid, or once again, justify not writing that difficult email. Oh, I'll never be able to do it in a way that they're not upset. Well, it's important I don't cheat, don't sell myself short on that communication. I'll step in, I'll do my best, and that's all I can do. So it doesn't have to be perfect. I don't even know what being perfect is. But if we come at things with that sense of awareness of what's going on for us right now in our body, in our mind, in our heart, what's going on in the conditions around us, and bring in qualities that we aspire to or we already know are in us and we can bring forth, and we're not going to be cheating on those qualities, but we can just do what we can at the moment. Sometimes it'll be more, sometimes it'll be less. That doesn't really matter. What matters is this time, right now. And bringing ourselves fully to whatever it is we're doing with our body, doing with our thoughts, doing with our speech. And remembering speech can be as much what we don't say as what we do say. Bringing that in is not cheating those qualities that we might see as the Buddha, which can be our path to transforming ourselves to something greater. Something kinder, something, someone more open. think I'll just, I think that's enough about cheating and Buddhas for the moment. But what I thought we'd do now is we will have a break in a few minutes, but what I thought would be good to do is we'll just do a little, I think Bodhilila, they call it mindful movement, just to, in a way, get us out of our heads. I've been talking a lot about the body, so into our body, and doing our best to just be aware of what our circumstances are at the moment. Don't sell ourselves short. Don't cheat our potentials. Don't cheat the qualities that we might want to do. So if you can't lift both arms up, that's fine. Just lift one arm up, or maybe just put one arm on the shoulder. Do what we can. Don't cut yourself off from your truer, deeper self of what you can do. We can all do little bits. So don't worry, we consciously didn't use the word yoga, because suddenly some people go, oh, Virginia's smiling. Oh, don't worry, no headstands, no single arm stands here. I can't do that anyway, so we won't be doing that. But if you'd like to, I'm just gonna move the camera back a bit so that you can see what I'm doing. And these are just little gentle movements to help open things up, move things around. And as we're doing it, as I say, just see what's possible for you and what might feel like cheating on yourself and what might feel like being generous to yourself. So you can continue if you're sitting on anything, whether it's, I know some people are on their sofa, that's great. If you've got cushions, you might want to still sit on one cushion or a couple of cushions, that's fine. If you've, so I'm just gonna sit here. I'm gonna sit with my legs in front of me like that. But if you want to have your legs out front, straight, fine. Or even if you want to have the knees up, that's fine. If you've got a blanket or a shawl around you, if you have your legs crossed, you might want to just roll it up and place it under there. That makes things nice and soft, particularly if you have bony ankles like me. It makes it a little more comfortable. Just sitting in a way that feels comfortable for you. And we'll just start moving a little in the upper body to start with. So if you want to bring the arms out in front, palms facing each other with the thumbs up. And now turning the thumbs down and out so the palms are facing outside of each other. As you breathe in, you lift that right hand up over, place it over the left hand, interlace the fingers. Soften the shoulders. That means let them go. Soften the elbows. Bring those hands back down towards the belly. Now, as you breathe in, if you feel comfortable, see if you can draw those hands up the chest towards the chin. And as you breathe out, let them roll out. You might only get just a little ways, that's fine. And then breathe in, bring them back to the chest, breathe out, down. So experimenting with what works for you with this. It might be, I've broken one elbow several times. So I've been doing this one a lot for years to help keep things moving. But this is one of those things you do a little bit every day and helps keep things more flexible, and a little bit every day, a bit like meditation, a little bit every time, every day has a cumulative effect. And you might find if at the moment you're only going partway up, maybe you do it a little bit every day, you can bring it up to the chin. Maybe at some point you can open it out. But just doing what you can. And because you can't do the whole motion, don't stop and say, oh, I can't do that. You're selling yourself short. You're cheating on your body's ability to explore what it might feel like. Okay, and now release the hands, probably with some relief. Give everything a shake. Shake out the elbows. Some people talk about this is Bollywood arms. If you're a Bollywood dancer, do that. Oh, there's some great dancers here. Wow, look at that. Fantastic. And then keeping the arms out, see if you can let the shoulders drop and elbows soft and the wrists up. And I've come to think of this, and I know some people talk about it as cormorant arms. You know how cormorants are big eagles? They hang their wings out to dry like this. And they just hang out like this for ages. So instead of, once again, instead of saying, oh, I can't do that, this, we'll see what you might be able to do. See if you can find that sweet spot. Maybe you can only do it with one arm. Maybe there's difficulty with one shoulder. Maybe you can just bring the elbows down to the waist. Give yourself permission just to explore your own cormorant arms. Okay. And now arms out in front again. Thumbs up, palms facing one another. Turning the thumbs down, palms out. And this time lifting up the left hand over the right, interlacing the fingers. And seeing how it might feel different this time. So maybe last time we thought, oh, I can't do it. Maybe this time it feels great, or the other way around. Soften the shoulders, drop the elbows and hands. And when you breathe in, see if you can roll the hands up towards the chin. As you breathe out, open out the arms. Maybe this side is much easier or much more difficult. Breathe in, up to the chin. Breathe out, releasing. A few more times with your own breath. So maybe you aspire to be bring in the quality of mentally flexible. Yeah. Or emotionally flexible. So maybe run into conversations with friends. There's so many conversations that can be quite challenging. Maybe you have friends who have different views from you about, for example, vaccinations. Well, seeing if we can be open, flexible in how we are approaching it. So I think working with the body to encourage flexibility, just reminds us is, oh, flexibility, we can bring it in different ways. It's not just physical, it can be emotional, it can be mental. Releasing, shaking it out. Some Bollywood arms. Gosh, it looks like all I need to do is say Bollywood arms and everyone goes like this. Fantastic. Cormorant arms. And actually, there was one Paula here who I live near, and she was saying she's right near a park. I've seen cormorants in Lord Shipwreck doing this. And you think cormorants in North London? They're here. So don't assume, don't cut ourselves short from seeing what's around us. That's another way of cheating the Buddha, cheating not seeing what is actually around us. Okay, now let's, if you have the legs down in front of you, let's bring them up, knees in front. And we're just gonna do a little more shaking around basically. So if you want to place your, let's do the right hand, right leg first. Place your hands, interlace your fingers underneath the thigh. And if you can, lift up that leg just a little bit. Doesn't have to be really high, just a little bit. And shake the foot. Just shake the foot a little bit. That might be a relief after sitting in meditation, who knows? Just giving it a shake. And let's see if we can spread the toes, giving some more space, bring more space into our experience, and then release the foot, release the toes. Lift up the foot, spread the toes. And that might be a good reminder sometimes when you're feeling a bit tight or frustrated or about to underestimate or undersell yourself. Spread your toes, give yourself more space. Release the toes, release the foot. And now put that right leg down. Interlace the hands underneath the left thigh if you can. Just draw up that leg a little bit. Give everything a shake once again. As I do things like this, I often think of my mom, who's 95 and still very much with us. I Skype with her about 3 times a week, which is pretty impressive. She lives in the States. And she had polio when she was 19 and recovered fairly well. You can stop shaking your leg now. And she had a year of physiotherapy and recovered fairly well. And then a few years ago, she broke an ankle. And so she had to do physiotherapy again. And it was very interesting. She was quick to say, oh, I can't do that. And yet if we just said, well, just try and, if you can't pick your leg up like that, which she can't because she doesn't have the strength, but if her foot's on the ground, she can lift the toes up. Spread the toes so she could actually bring space into her experience that way. So she might not be able to do the whole thing, but she can do a little piece of it. She can do what she is capable of, what conditions allow for her. So you just experiment with what might be possible for you. Some people might like throwing the leg all the way up and shaking it, or some might just have the heel on the floor. But don't fake it. Don't undersell yourself. Just doing what you can with honesty, with kindness to yourself. And I also think it's always helpful to have a sense of humor. Okay. So that's arms and legs. Just gonna do one more thing before we have a bit of a tea break, and then we'll come back and have a more of a meditative practice. So if you are able to now, to see how you are, if you can come onto your hands and knees, that's fine. If not, if you're sitting up, that's okay too. I'll give you an option for that. But if you're on your hands and knees, see if you can have your knees bowed underneath your hips, your hands underneath your shoulders. And what we're just going to be doing is breathing and moving our spine. So You can do this sitting up or on hands and knees. And we'll also do this with some sound effects, because these are two shapes that have animal names in yoga. So some people might have heard of a cat pose or cow pose. So you're all muted, so you can do whatever you want. I get the great embarrassment of being able to make the noises and you hear me. So you can do what you want. But when we're doing the cat shape, I want us all to say what we think a cat would say.
Meow.
And then when we do the cow shape, we can do the cow noise. Ooh. Don't underestimate what you can do. Just give it a shot. Be curious. Don't cheat your chance to have a bit of fun here. So I'll show the hands and knees first, and then if you're sitting up, I'll show you as well. So we'll start out as we breathe in, we let the tailbone, let our bottom go down, let our spine go up, let the head come down. We're a cat now, arching our back, and we say, meow. And then as we breathe out, we let the tailbone come up, the belly goes down, we look forward and we're a cow and we say, moo. And if you're sitting doing this, you can do the exact same thing. So carry on doing your cats and cows as I show people sitting up how to do. So if you're sitting up in a chair, what you can do is just lean forward, stretch the arms out. So you're bowing the chest and you can say, meow. And then to be a cow, you can lift the chest up, move it forward, roll the shoulders back and say, moo.
Meow.
Moo. I realize this is being recorded. Oh my goodness, this is funny.
Meow.
Moo. So don't underestimate again. What movement you might be able to do. Don't sell yourself short on this opportunity to get into the body, explore what's possible, be kind to yourself as you are right now. Buddhi Lila was saying in that poem from Nyokan this morning, delusions and truth. You find them in the heart. And let's see if we can see which of the delusions and which is the truth. And then coming to stillness, enough cats, enough cows. And if you're able to, if you're on your hands and knees, you can sit back to your heels or just sit on your cushion. If you're already sitting on the sofa or chair, just sitting up. And let's just take a moment to settle back into a sense of relative stillness. Bring the palms together at the chest if you wish. Soft breath in, lifting up, gentle breath out, just bowing forward to each of us, helping support our practice. Do not cheat the Buddha. Okay, everyone. So we'll now have about a 10-minute tea break. And so if you want to make sure you're muted, if you probably are already, your tea break, or as somebody says, water in, water out, loo break as well as you need to. And I'll see you back here in 10 minutes. Feel free to come back and have a silent tea break with other people if you wish, but we'll be back in about 10 minutes. Thank you. This is where we get to check out each other's teacups.
We get to check out each other's teacups.
Ooh. See the sound is out of sync though.
Thank you. Very nice, Petty. Right now, yeah, we can show each other's mugs if you're so inclined. I've got a rabbit on mine. Life finds a way. Nice, Penny. That's nice, Craig. I can't quite, something can do, but not. I just like the can do bit. It's interesting, these mugs we use, they're almost like little symbols or little messages we send to ourselves. Why do we choose this mug? What is it we're reminding ourselves of? All these little ways we tell ourselves things, we send ourselves messages or we sell someone else messages. Ah, thank you, Craig. You can do everything, but you can't do it. Very nice. How appropriate for what we were just talking about. Thank you. Great. Good. We've just got a few more people coming back. From your watery break, water in, water out. So what we'll be doing now is moving into a period of meditation practice. But I'd like us to, again, touch back in with those ideas that you might have, or experiences you might have touched in on when I was talking about do not cheat the Buddha. So what does cheating mean for you? Or what's the opposite, maybe generosity and the Buddha? What is the Buddha for you right now? What is it, a historical Buddha, a quality, a series of qualities? You might be someone who is more attuned to sound. So maybe a particular tune or particular, well, we heard birdsong this morning at Bodhi Lila's. There might be something around that you would hold up as something that you aspire or respect. Maybe the lightness of a particular birdsong or a particular instrument. Or you might be someone who is very much visual. Or you might be about colors. Someone was talking earlier about engaging with colors. They were having a sense of colors in the meditation. It might be images or it might be sensations in the body. Some people are very body-based. Or maybe you're a foodie. Maybe you love the taste of things. How do you connect to what's positive, what's true in your life? We all have our default senses that we'll use. And if one of our senses is compromised, maybe hearing or sight, sometimes my taste is quite compromised, our other senses might compensate. So instead of saying, oh, I can't taste that, I might say, ooh, I can really smell that. Again, not selling ourselves short on our ability to be with reality, we be with our experience as it is. As we move into our meditation, and I will suggest and ring bells for a 5-stage practice. So you might choose to do the Metta-Bhavana, for example. You might want to bring in that particular quality that is the Buddha to you today. And if you notice yourself turning away from that quality or saying, oh, I can't do that, or I don't feel that, try not to sell yourself short. You can pause, feel back into the body. Or might I feel a sense of flexibility or warmth or connection, whatever that quality might be. Just working from what we have right now, right here. Allow that quality to stay as it is, or maybe even grow. Don't sell yourself short. Be curious, be patient, and explore. Do not cheat the Buddha. So settling into whatever meditation shape you might like to take. You might be lying down, and if you're doing that, there's something soft under the head. You may want to have your knees up, feet down. If you're doing that, you might want to move the feet a little wider than the hips to allow the knees to drop in on each other so you're not having to grip. Because when we're gripping with body, we grip with mind, we grip with heart, and we're not giving ourselves the best chance to engage with an opening that might come with a meditation. If you're sitting up, probably have your regular meditation shape that you use. And I'll just drop in a few suggestions or reminders. And feel free just to let my words wash over you. If you know what you're doing and you're happy with it, but sometimes it's helpful just to listen to a different voice or a different suggestion, and also recognize our body is different every day. So maybe today your familiar shape or my familiar shape might not be giving ourselves the best opportunity, the best conditions for practicing. Don't cheat your meditation. Don't cheat your opportunity to grow, as I say. So if you are sitting, making sure the hips are a little bit higher than the knees, whether you're sitting in a chair or sitting on a cushion or a stool, making sure there's nice soft support underneath knees if they're not resting on something. Making sure you're warm enough. And making sure the upper body, the arms and the hands can be released. And this all depends on how our physical body is built, what our geometry is, our body geometry, as it were, what's going to be most appropriate for how you are right now. So some people find hands, as Bodhi Lee was talking about, maybe palms down on the thighs works for you, maybe palms up. You might want to have a sense of the upper arm being in line with the torso. That helps open up the chest, allowing our chest to breathe more easily, heart to beat a little more freely. You may wish to rest the arms, the hands in your lap. You might need some support under the hands so the shoulders can really let go. if you're kneeling astride something, or however you're sitting, you might like to put something around your waist, maybe a blanket or a shawl or a belt. Just tie it around your waist. Tuck your hands in. Release. You may well wish to turn your video off while you're meditating to give yourself one less visual input while you practice. Please do that if you wish. Or you might like to let the eyes shut. If you have the eyes open, just letting the gaze drop. Maybe about a meter in front of you, just something not moving. As our Chinese monk Juri says, you can close the eyes, but just to the point where light's not streaming in. Not shutting out what's around you, just subtly connecting to it. And the sense of the nose in line with the navel, the ears in line with the shoulders. You get into so many habits of leaning the face forward, looking into screens, or leaning back, being skeptical. Or maybe if your eyesight's not so good, needing to lean back and squint a bit, seeing if we can engage with this sense of a centered, released, but awake physical shape. Physical shape, body is soft, feels warm and safe and supported. Might allow ourselves, the heart might feel safe to open a little bit more, be a bit more curious, a bit more vulnerable, and a bit stronger. Remembering that quality was the Buddha for you today, or the physical Buddha. And using that as your basis for practicing. Feeling that quality in self and wishing it for others. Period of the Metta-bhavana. reconnecting with the body, the heart, mind, is elsewhere. Do not cheat the Buddha. turning towards rather than are turning away. Do not cheat the Buddha. opening out, imagining, smelling, hearing, seeing that quality touch, beings close and far. Do not cheat the Buddha. coming back to yourself, sitting here in your space, lying here in your space. Feeling how your shape is right now. How are the thoughts? How is your heart? Gently beginning to bring a little more movement into the shape. Spacious toes wiggling, hands spreading. If you're lying on your back, gently rolling onto your side. Bringing your time, bringing yourself up to sitting. Stretch arms if you wish. Open armpits. Turn the head softly from side to side. Reach into chest to our support to the earth. Open the face, lift the heart to the sky. Bring the face back to center. The eyes have been shut. Opening them softly open. And sitting here right now. Much. So just a quiet reminder, as there may still be some people meditating, we meet again at 4 o'clock and we'll have groups, breakout rooms, to use Zoom jargon. And if there are two of you in your little rectangle at the moment, if you could, if it's possible for you to come in on separate devices, because you may be in separate breakout rooms, that would be great. If that's not possible for you, let us know. If you just want to email us at teaching@westlondonbuddhistcenter.com, that's fine. But if you could, separate device, it'd be good. And if you can try and log in just a few minutes before 4, just to make sure we're all there. Simply enjoy your space. Touch into your quality and be your own Buddha. Bye-bye. Anything to offer, Bodhilila? Is that?
Yeah, that there may be an opportunity for some questions and answers and some ritual and a little bit of meditation as well as the groups.
The room, sorry, yes, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. All right. Thanks for that reminder. Great. Thank you, everyone. See you in a few hours.